Washington's legislative session is in its final three-week stretch. The House and Senate must still negotiate a final budget, and a lot of bills remain in play. Joining us live for an update is Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins. Austin, it's been a busy year with a lot of bills introduced and a lot of high-profile issues. What's an example of one that's made it through already?
Yeah, Kristen, I've been using that number of 2,500 bills introduced. I think it's 2,590 bills. A lot of bills introduced. One of the most high-profile measures, which has now been signed into law by the governor, is raising the age to buy cigarettes, tobacco products, and vaping products to 21. So Washington is now one of 11 states, including our neighbors to the south, Oregon and California, that have raised the age from 18. That's according to the Tobacco Free Kids campaign. This was what's known as request legislation from the Attorney General Bob Ferguson and the Department of Health, and it's a good example of how issues can ripen in Olympia. This bill was introduced in previous years, but it didn't pass. But this year, it did, with bipartisan support, I might add.
Well, so that did pass the legislature. What's an example of a bill that's died?
There was a bill requested by the Superintendent of Public Instruction to require school districts, require being the key word, school districts to teach comprehensive sex ed. Currently, sex ed is taught in about 60% of high schools and about 30% of middle schools in Washington, but it's not mandatory. So this bill to make it mandatory grew out of, at least in part, the Me Too movement. There are a lot of politics around this issue, as you might imagine, and there was strong opposition, even though the bill did allow for parents to have their children opt out of those classes. The bill actually passed the Democratic-led state Senate, but it died in committee in the state House. And this is one of these interesting things about how Olympia works. The chair of that committee, members of that committee, had sponsored the House version of the bill, and yet it died. And the chair indicated that she was concerned about the process, but it's one of those things that just because a bill has a bunch of sponsors doesn't always mean it will get through in the end.
And it's interesting because both chambers are controlled by Democrats, so
exactly.
That it passed
good
in one
point.
And didn't in the other. That's
right.
Interesting. All right, so are there any other proposals that lawmakers need to act on before the end of the session?
Well, you know, they haven't taken up Initiative 1000 yet. This is the initiative to the legislature to overturn Washington's 1998 voter-approved ban on affirmative action. This measure would once again allow affirmative action in public employment, contracting, and education. This initiative got a record number of signatures, and sponsors say it's needed to reverse decades of lost educational and economic opportunities for underrepresented groups. But this is also a controversial issue, and majority Democrats have been oddly quiet on this subject. It hasn't even come up for a hearing yet. Lawmakers do have some options. They can pass it, they can do nothing and let it go to the November ballot, or they can pass an alternative and let both the amended version and the original version go to the ballot in November. I'm thinking we're probably going to see this show up sometime in the next 3 weeks, but it's been interesting that they've waited so long.
That is interesting. So there's Initiative 1000 out there, and of course the budget. The House and Senate must negotiate a final deal.
Yeah, just that little thing.
Yeah, you know, no big deal, and decide on whether to raise any taxes. Do you think they can do it before the end of the month?
That's certainly the goal, and with Democrats, as you noted, in control of both chambers, it would seem fairly doable. They do agree on the main priorities of education, higher ed, mental health, early learning, homelessness, and housing, but they do have a lot of differences to work through in terms of how they scoped and funded their budgets. One big difference is House Democrats wrote a budget that relies on a new and controversial state capital gains tax. Senate Democrats do not include that idea in their budget. House Democrats also have a targeted business and occupation tax increase to fund higher ed that's not in the Senate budget. And while House Democrats taxed more, Senate Democrats have been criticized for over-relying on one-time savings and other maneuvers to make their budget balance. So there are differences to be worked out. How much to spend, how much to tax, what the spending levels are for each part of the budget. Budget writers are saying they can do it in 3 weeks. It's been done before. But we shall see.
We shall see. And before I let you go, Austin, I wanted to touch on one other topic. Democrats agreed over the weekend to use a primary election rather than caucuses in 2020. Tell us what that means.
Well, if you recall, another bill the governor has signed into law is to move our presidential primary up from late May to early March to make us more relevant. Republicans have used those primary results in the past to allocate delegates. Democrats have traditionally used a caucus only system to determine the allocation of delegates. Under the change made this weekend, the vote this weekend, Democrats will now use the presidential primary to determine those delegates and how they're allocated. Once those are delegates are allocated, they actually decide who the delegates to the convention will be at their convention. But this is a significant change. It means our presidential primary will no longer be just sort of in name only or a kind of beauty contest, it's been called. We've even canceled it because of the cost, because it didn't have relevancy. Now it will, and we'll be right after Super Tuesday, and we've got a governor running for president. So Washington is trying to be a little bit more relevant, front and center in the selection of the next president.
All right, Austin, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins joining us live, as he does most Tuesdays at this time, on KNKX.